You're tuning in to Spectre Radio.
Revisiting our favorite Star Wars movie moments and debate about scenes from the show.
We're just three millennials flying our way through the galaxy through the eyes of the clones, Jedi, and bounty hunters.
I'm Wyatt.
I'm Andrew.
My name is Alyssa, and we are...
Spectre Radio.
Piang, anything yet?
On the spoilers, no. However, I have several thoughts on everything else going on.
Piang, not now.
The way you're both acting, there won't be a later.
Thank you, Ahsoka and Hu Yang, for the spoiler warning. Again, this podcast contains adult content and spoilers.
I started hearing whispers of Thrawn's return as heir to the Empire.
What happens when we find Thrawn?
Power, such as you've never dreamed.
I've spent most of my life fighting a war. That's why I'm trying to convince you to help me prevent another one.
You and I both know who could help you with this.
She's still just as stubborn as ever.
I bet your master found you difficult at times.
Anakin never got to finish my training. I walked away from him, just like I walked away from Sabine.
You never made things easy for me.
Master.
As a Jedi, sometimes you have to make the decision no one else can. But I'm counting on you to see this through.
Nice haircut. Sometimes we have to do what's right, regardless of our personal feelings.
Buckle up.
If we don't stop Thrawn, everything will be in vain.
You have no power.
Anakin spoke highly of you.
I'm not here to discuss my past.
We have a lot of work to do.
Once a rebel, always a rebel.
Scan complete. What did I miss? We almost died several times. Ah, standard operating procedure. Welcome back to Spectre Radio, everybody. Man, I'm so excited. I got to do David Tennant's voice twice, or at least a poor man's impersonation of it. But, you know, that's always great. He's got a great voice, so it's always an honor to do something like that. But yes, well, once again, welcome back, everyone. We are super excited to be here. Are we not, crew?
We are super excited.
We are. Yes, we are.
As always.
We are super happy to go over this next, albeit short, episode of Ahsoka.
And short.
Yeah, well, you know, they like to that stupid short after
were
the
we really
long
that
one.
Surprised?
Exactly. I knew it was going to happen.
The standard operating procedure, as you said, Andrew.
Indeed. But to kind of kick us off with the summary, Alyssa's going to read the recap, so please and thank you.
Episode 3, Time to Fly. As Ahsoka, Sabine, and Huyang make their way to the Deneb system in the Eye of Sion, Hera tries to convince Mon Mothma and members of the New Republic Senate to send a task force to assist her friends. Several members are not convinced, not wanting to enter into conflict. Hera, not so tactfully, reminds them they didn't fight in the war. She did, and she's trying to prevent another one. Back on Ahsoka's shuttle, her and Huyang spar with Sabine, trying to get her to remember her previous training and improve upon it. While Huyang doesn't believe she's a good candidate for a traditional Jedi, he also points out that Ahsoka comes from a long line of non-traditional Jedi, and in that way, Sabine fits right in. As the trio arrives at the Eye of Sion and learn it is a massive hyperspace ring capable of traveling much farther than normal hyperdrives at a much faster speed, they are attacked by fighters as well as the hyperdrive ring itself. Can the group win their dogfight and call for help to stop the Eye from rescuing Thrawn? Or will the galaxy be drawn into yet another Star War?
I was actually thinking about putting that in, so nice ad lib.
Star War, I get it now.
I love doing the recap and the summary with the ad libs. That's always really fun. I get to pretend to be a voiceover artist.
That is fun. Well, let's go ahead and take it into our first category. But first, I need to clear my throat because someone half-assed it last time.
Oh!
So 1 second, please. Into our next category of instant reactions. Sorry, anyway. Andrew. Love you.
I wish everyone could see Andrew's face right now.
It was a lot of shade.
Yeah, that's a little hot in here.
Domestic
side eye, criminal offensive side eye from Andrew.
That was shots fired. Shots fired.
Yes, yeah. that was. Anyway, so reactions. So Disney is doing this thing again where it doesn't release the title of the show until we've seen the title of the
episode.
Show.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I've been watching that more eagle-eyed lately, which I love that they're doing it because I hate seeing a preview of what the episode is before we're even into it, especially a new one.
Sure.
So I am liking that. Jason Syndulla?
Yes! I love that, and you just went straight for it. You were just like, Jason Syndulla, number one.
And green hair? Question mark?
Yeah, it was green.
Darkish green, yeah.
It wasn't as neon green, I think, right? Because in the show, in the animated version, it was like bright, like obvious.
I don't know if that's how genetics works, but okay.
Right. So I think that was kind of like a good update. I mean, I feel like it would have been cool. And maybe as he gets older, like it'll change. Who knows? Because like,
that's what I'm thinking.
My dad has red hair. And when he got older, it just went blonde. He didn't even really go gray. So
yeah, it'll
the
go
same
white
idea. Like
that.
It'll just get lighter. Yeah, exactly. So did you notice what he was wearing on his shoulder?
No.
He had the same plate that Kanan used to wear.
Oh,
stressed on it.
Nice.
Yeah, I have a picture of it. I'll show you guys.
Very nice.
I was
Who was he referring to? Who's going to be a Jedi? Because he said it so fast, I didn't catch it.
He said that Chopper told him that Sabine would.
Oh, okay. Yep, there it is. Those eagle-eyed viewers.
And then Kanan's got it right there.
Yeah.
I like that, actually.
I know. Yeah. It's so sweet. And there was so much about Kanan in this episode, but I'm going to hold that till I get into my stuff.
There was. I realized my next 2 points contradict each other, so that makes it even better.
You contradicting yourself? Come on.
So when they're force timing with the general counsel, whatever.
Force timing?
Yeah.
They were... Yeah,
the one,
I guess.
The one senator says former Imperials working throughout every entry level of the New Republic government. And I put foreshadowing much. And then my next line was the Rebel Alliance seems strong and organized. So
that's definitely a thing in like legends in the books. Like they were more successful as a Rebel Alliance, and then maybe their first like a few years of the New Republic. But generally, the New Republic isn't as strong or as well liked because now that like the dust has settled, all the people they freed or whatever,
right? They're being so selective.
Have a thousand things that they want to complain about with, you know, or against their neighboring worlds that they're not always friends with. So it's a lot harder than they all thought it was going to be. This is actually, I'm glad they did that whole little meeting. As much as none of the characters are the same from like Legends, that's basically how those council meeting goes. It's like someone's trying to gain power, someone's, you know, actually in favor of helping people, someone's pro-war, someone's anti-war. It's actually very exhausting. So I'm glad that we actually got to see that. And I love that Hera just like totally went in on that guy.
Yeah, she just like,
yeah.
Oh, so you went didn't off. So you just, you know, hid and, you know, waited on the sideline to see who was going to come out on top. I was like,
I mean,
did you want him
feels,
to vote yes?
Go, go,
or,
go, go,
it
go.
Feels relatable to like modern so day politics, too,
so
because
relatable.
I feel like that's such a thing where people are like, well, I served. So this or you didn't serve. So you don't know or whatever. So I thought that was great. And there was another thing in my notes to go off of what you were saying. And now, of course, I'm not going to be able to find it.
I like how the one lady had like a hard time believing that was a problem. I'm like, what, you think their loyalties just switched overnight? Like, yeah, some people don't actually care about the politics one way or another, as long as they can feed their family. Like plenty of people do, but like there's enough people that have the loyalties they had for 20 years.
Yep. I think I found in my notes, it was down in predictions, but it's relevant now. I feel like between, like, it's so stupid, but re-listening or listening to our podcast after talking, I have better predictions because my mind is like on autopilot when I'm driving and just listening to us talk that I am like, oh my God, why didn't I say this? But I feel like between last episode and the nuggets we got in this one, I feel like we have a better inkling of where we're at in the timeline because Ahsoka already knows Morgan and she was in jail for the crimes that happened in the episodes in The Mandalorian. So we know it's not, it can't be 9 ABY. It's got to be a bit further past, right? Because if that was season two,
that could be anywhere from 6 months later or longer.
Right. So it's got to be at least maybe 10 ABY, could be later. And then I think because there's so much parallel to the plot that was in season three, to your point, Wyatt, like it's either foreshadowing or it's echoing what's happened because we don't know where we're at. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that's been super defining yet. Other than the fact that they were like, oh, Morgan was in prison, like, you know, and that was because of what happened with her and Ahsoka and their fight. So I feel like we have a little bit of a better idea, but still not specific. And that's probably for a certain reason, right? They don't want us to know. But this is the second episode in a row where they're continuing the narrative of like the stuff that was going on with Alaya, you know, being a ex-imperial fake New Republic
Alaya being a liar, as you said.
Exactly. Alaya being a liar. So yeah, I feel like that was another little breadcrumb to the timeline.
Right.
That was a very good observation.
Couple more of mine. So I drove home from West Palm last night before the storm started to roll through. So I was able to actually watch this on a TV and not on my iPad like I did last week. So I got home and I'm in bed watching it and Laura is next to me reading a book. And so I'm watching it. And as soon as the Purrgil whales came on the screen, I audibly gasped. And she looked over at me like, what? I'm like, you don't understand.
Like space whales and not from Star Trek.
Well, right. And didn't they call them star whales? They didn't even call them space whales in this episode. And I was like, a star whale. I love that. That's even cuter than a space whale.
They're also,
she's a star. It's a star.
They're a lot bigger than what we saw them in the animations.
Huge. Well, that's probably got to be the passage of time. Like they're older. They're
if it's the same group,
yeah.
Right. Was I the only one?
That's a good prediction, Andrew. That you just kind of made. It could be the same group. It could be the same group that was with Ezra and Thrawn. The same pod, if you will.
Which makes you think, is Ezra and Thrawn on that planet?
Okay, hold on. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are. Okay. I'm sorry.
Into predictions. We're getting excited because we're halfway through now. We're about to be halfway through. So
it always does. I didn't realize that. Yeah. I didn't realize that General Grievous could be incarnated into a practice bot.
God. Oh, all the arms. Oh, that's so funny. I didn't even think of that. There were some other Star Wars parallels, but I was distracted by those to not notice the Grievous.
I was just so grateful of how much Hu Yang content we're getting.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Truly grateful.
Yeah. It was a nice reminder to hear Ahsoka say the Force resides in all living things. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I needed that reminder, but it was nice to have it.
Because that's not how a lot of people think about the Force. They think you either can use it or you can't.
You're either Force sensitive or not, right?
Yeah.
Did anybody think of Rogue One when she said that?
I thought she was going to say, I'm one with the Force is with me.
Yeah,
when she
because then Sabine was like almost saying it. I was like, they want us to think of that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a Jedi, even though that's someone who was Force sensitive, right? Like that wasn't a Jedi. Mm-hmm. And he was like one with the Force. So,
right. Two more things. Who doesn't love a good training montage?
I know.
I wanted like cheesy 80s music to go with it.
I'm sure someone's going to dub that in. Lastly, Rosario's makeup artist needs a gigantic raise.
Yeah, it looks really good.
They did. It's nice to not. I'm sure none of it is like the latex or like the prosthetics that they usually add. I know that's her. That's her face. So, but yeah. Just the way like they done all the lines and the white markings on her face, so good.
Yeah, I don't know how they're. I'd love to see more behind the scenes on that because it's got to be a stencil they can get, so they can get it right every time.
Every time.
Yeah. I can go next if that's okay. I'm excited. I have a long list. So speaking of General Grievous, the training bot, I got Game of Thrones Arya water dancing lesson vibes from that training montage. I did. Like, can you drop a part of your arm kind of thing? Like, I loved that. I was like, this is very much Arya to me and not so much like Luke and Yoda. It felt different. But then Ahsoka had Sabine put on the helmet with like the blast shield down, not Star Wars referencing it. Oh my God.
But the blast shield down, I can't even see. How am I supposed to fight?
So that, and then Rey did it too. Remember? Didn't she have it as well? So yeah.
I think it was the same helmet because it was on the Falcon.
Yes. And then when Ahsoka does the whole follow the sound of my voice, and she pops out of nowhere 2 inches away from Sabine, my mind immediately went to that clip of The Office where Dwight is doing a talking head at the arcade and Angela is 2 inches from behind him. And he goes, oh, fuck, into the mic and they bleep him out. And I was just like, I don't know why my brain just
reminded me, like doing gifs and
just combining all the shit from the internet.
The whole follow the sound of my voice reminded me because Maul said that to Kanan after he blinded him. He goes, over here, Master Jedi, follow the sound of my voice. I was like, what a tool.
I'm wearing my Maul shirt today.
I still have that too, Alyssa, by the way.
Yeah. It's my favorite Star Wars shirt. No regrets. So I thought that was great. And then I don't know why, but I got so excited when I saw Mon Mothma. I was like, yay, we're finally like getting everything. Like, this is it. So I thought that was awesome. And it just made me realize, like, pretty much for this episode, 90% of the screen time went to women. And it wasn't about like women are awesome. It was just like women are the plot of the story. That's it. It didn't have to be any certain agenda or anything else. And like
the name of the show is Ahsoka.
Right. I mean, yes, obviously, but that doesn't mean that there can't be other male central characters. There were two, right? If you count the Yang and you count
Baylan. Yeah.
And there's two. It was like almost 90% women. And it's cool because
and Thrawn,
it's like
eventually.
Yeah. Well, yes,
and hopefully
of course,
Ezra.
But
knock on wood.
I think talking about this episode, like even the senators, it was like majority women. It felt like there were more. There was like two men on the
Senate. I was hoping Leia was going to be on there because she is, at least in the legends, she's a leading member of the New Republic High Council and she's a senator.
Maybe not yet in the timeline, I guess, or something, because we don't know. So that could
not,
be a good
not for the canon anyway. Yeah,
sure, sure. But yeah, I just thought that was really cool. Like I had a realization like towards the end, I was like, the villains, like the bad guys, the good guys, there's representation at all these different levels of women. So I just thought that was really cool. I know why you were just saying the makeup is really good. I agree. I think for me, what I'm struggling with are the colored contacts, especially on Hera. I think it's I've worn them. I don't know. Have you guys ever worn those?
I have not. I've seen them. They look
uncomfortable. I did it once for a Halloween costume. And if you're not used to wearing contacts, it was very difficult. So I don't know if she does that in real life, but it's like I think it's part of the way they film her too, because from far away, it's not very distracting, but the closer up they get, and if she's like looking off center as she's undulating and acting as she should, then it's going to catch like the actual color of her eye and kind of throw things off. So I think it's just I don't want to blame like the director or the filmography.
They couldn't have afforded 2 minutes of editing for that.
And yeah, I mean, it's like maybe that could also be better, but yeah, I thought that was something they could improve, but something they did really well was the spinning of the ship. That was really awesome.
Yeah,
that whole dogfight with the barrel roll was neat. And we were talking about, you know, Long Live the Empire. I guess these fighters, like, we didn't get any of my favorites. We didn't get any TIE fighters. And I'm assuming that's because the Empire is gone. Is that why?
Most of the remains of the Empire are hidden away in the unknown regions, and they make up the beginnings of the First Order,
as we eventually see.
Because they also use like regular Imperial Star Destroyers in addition to their bigger ones that they have.
The old Imperial TIE fighters and the new ones were not exactly the same. They were very similar in aesthetic, but the specifics were not. So
yeah, but they're still going to use these Imperial assets for at least several more years. And I'm not saying there's not Imperial warlords still out there. There were definitely in Legends, but in canon we have yet to see. I think they're not using TIE fighters right now for a specific reason, because if somebody sees those and happens upon it, I mean, if they see a giant hyperspace ring and happen upon it, that might be a problem. Yeah, but I mean, all communications are jammed, but at least if they got away, they could say, oh, we saw this big ring and all that. But if they got away and say, hey, we saw TIE fighters as well as this big ring with super Star Destroyer engines, that might be a little 2 + 2 = 4 kind of thing. It's either I remember in Legends, TIE fighters after a certain point were not as readily available because they did not have their shipyards anymore. So what they had was what they had. So they eventually started using another type of snub fighter that, like, the hardliner Imperials are like, well, we should only be using TIE fighters. It's like, well, you lost the war. You can't use them anymore.
Yeah.
So that's, Andrew, it was a nice nod. Yeah.
Can I challenge you on that real quick? So you basically just made the claim that TIE fighters, Empire, you're kind of drawing the pathway between them.
I don't know if I meant to do that, but go ahead.
Okay. Even if you did or didn't. So if that line of thinking is correct, then if we go in the same time frame, we go back to season 1 of Mandalorian, where we have stormtroopers. They're not necessarily for the Empire. They were working for, what was his name?
The client?
Los
Hermanos.
Yes.
Los Hermanos.
Yes.
Yeah, well, he is a member of the Imperial Remnant. Like, if you remember in the season 3, we saw their little council on little force time, as you call it, holograms. So they are still the Imperial proper, whereas I don't know if Morgan Elsbeth is, and if she is, she's probably hoping her operations remain undercover. That's what I meant. If somebody sees TIE fighters, they'll draw a link, is what I mean.
I know, I totally understand what you're saying, but, you know, a lot of times we see in Star Wars that Imperial like transport always gets hijacked by the Rebellion to be used as undercover. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of their actual ships were Imperial ships first, but they're so more often used by the Rebel Alliance that they're associated with the Rebels, like Princess Leia's ship in episode 4, when it gets boarded by stormtroopers, Darth Vader comes in, R2 and C-3PO get off. That is a well-known ship across the galaxy, but it is actually there are more ships of that kind in the Empire than there are of the Rebellion, but they don't see frontline combat, whereas the Rebels ones see frontline combat, so they're more associated with it. But I can see your point.
I just think they're cool, so I wanted to see one, that's all.
you just wanted to hear it. You hear it screaming across.
I still want a TIE fighter tattoo. I can't drop that idea. It's been like 2 years and I still want one. So I think I'm still going to do it.
I think it's time.
I think I need a referral, but yeah. I had two more really quick ones. The conversation that we use for the spoiler warning reminded me of when I scream at my Alexa to like stop doing things and she's not listening, was the way Ahsoka was talking to Yang. She was like, not now. Like, we don't have time. Stop. Do what I say. And I was like, oh, that's so mean. And then I was like, I yell at my droid the same way. So I guess that makes sense. So that was funny. And then the sci-fi science of it all, the spacesuit, that to me felt like Rebels. Like the way that that was shot and how far away and like
they did just that.
Felt animated. Like it felt and she wore a spacesuit before. So like it just felt animated to me. And I loved that. I don't know. That was like one of my favorite parts of the episode. It was such a shock and not something you saw coming or I didn't see coming. I thought she was going to get in a smaller ship or something or like.
I was wondering. I was like, she's either putting on a space suit or there's a small fighter in there.
That didn't even cross my mind.
There's a phantom somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we haven't seen anybody really do that, right? That's not like a common occurrence in Star Wars where they're like, oh, let me throw on a moon suit and jump out there. So that didn't even cross my mind. So I thought that was really neat and made it feel very much more like space. But the sci-fi science of it is where I get confused because we don't know anything about the suit. So the fact that she was like floating, but when she's touching the ship, she has gravity. So it's like, are these gravity boots or anti-gravity boots?
I think they're grav boots.
Something like that. They didn't seem any much more special, but again,
it would have been better if she had like there's a jetpack no explanation with it or like little thrusters on her feet.
Yeah, that'd probably be more of Mandalorian, right? Then they complain about that.
Well, they gave Ezra little thrusters when he had his suit.
Oh yeah. Well, and also the lightsabers, like they're interesting to me because in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is basically a giant laser, right? If we're calling it a laser sword. And to my knowledge, something that is flammable typically needs oxygen.
Oxygen.
So yeah. I'm like, how do the lightsabers work in open outer space? How do they,
well,
burn?
They work
how
underwater.
Do they ignite? Yeah, yeah.
You've seen like, them work underwater.
What's the science? That's a really good point, too. But oxygen is in water, but also...
They used it in Clone Wars and in Rebels. They had a lightsaber in space. So I'm guessing it's a modification because from what I read originally, lightsabers are not able to be opened underwater. And they had to make a modification for it. So that is my understanding. And
isn't
that
interesting, though?
I think it is.
Things that other people probably don't go... Let me just think about the real science of this. Like, I'm no scientist, but I know if you snuff out the oxygen, the flame will die. That's how it works. So if space is a vacuum, how can we have something lit?
It's not a lighter. Like, you're thinking of it like a lighter.
Right, right.
And it's not.
Right.
So, well, I mean, I don't know how to better describe it, but I could say it's not a lighter.
Well, because then if Alyssa's theory is correct, that means none of these laser blasters on any of these ships is supposed to work because they're shooting lasers.
Well, I don't know.
We have a laser sword. But again, it's Star Wars science. It doesn't have to make sense.
Like you're thinking of things that were built on Earth to operate on Earth in atmosphere, in oxygen.
Right.
These things are clearly designed to not work.
I guess
that way.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they are. But we haven't really seen much of lightsabers like in open space, right?
We've seen Leia floating
around making everybody look like shit and stunting on them hoes out
and pulling,
in outer space.
Peter Quill from two of his movies and then surviving being in space. I'm pretty sure when
I watch
clips of this episode on YouTube that people who don't know what they're talking about are going to comment, well, how could she block weapons fire like that from a ship? And I was just like, oh, we've seen them do that from bigger ships before, like in Rebels, Kanan and Ezra, when they went on the walker, when they met Rex and Wolf and Greg, they fought off the TIE fighters. I mean, albeit when they hit it with their lightsaber, it makes them go backward because of the velocity of the thing that they're hitting and the size of the bolts, because blaster fire is bolts. You have to think of it as bolts, not like a bullet. but you have to think of it as a like plasma or a laser bolt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you think
that's
of it that way,
it's
a little
bit
different.
That's a good way to think of it. That does make it easier to kind of comprehend.
All righty. So, I mean, you guys, had a good amount of my instant reactions, and then I got to comment on yours. I knew we weren't going to go super far with this episode as far as plot. I figured it was going to be shorter, especially because we got a 45-minute one and a 55-minute one. I actually reversed that for how the order of it. But yeah.
90 so minutes.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, we're going to get a shorter one is what it is. But I liked what we got, and I liked that they took advantage of their time on the ship to continue her training. And one of the things that bugs me about Star Wars is their lack of consistency with a lot of things, including hyperspace travel. Mm-hmm. It's like, sometimes it seems like, oh, it's going to take hours or half a day or a whole day to traverse the galaxy or whatever. We don't know how far Lothal is from the planet that they're going to, but it's just, they're always inconsistent with it. But at least at this one, it seemed like they had several hours.
Right.
So it's like, we don't exactly know how far, but it's like, there are things that are like, we can be from the Outer Rim to fight on Coruscant within an hour. I'm like, an hour? I was like, you're flying 3/4 of the way across the galaxy. What do you mean an hour? Like, they're just, there's no like consistency with it. So I'm glad they're like starting to address that. It definitely reminded me of Episode 4 with Luke's training. So that was kind of cool. Always grateful for every Huang scene that we get. So definitely liking that. I liked that the fighters that attacked them looked like old World War II planes a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah. That's what it looked like to me. So I'm like, okay, we're starting to see different styles of ships continually. It's not just the same recycled stuff that we already have and usually know and love. So it's like, they get to change it up a little bit. And now we know the Eye of Sion is armed. So I was wondering about that from last episode. I'm like, is it just travel, or is it like a space station? It clearly can defend itself as it has powerful turbo lasers. So that's cool. I feel like they were hinting on that this may be something that a ship can dock to. I feel like they hinted on that. So I'm wondering.
Oh, so less of, sorry, I'm just interrupting you. No, say what you want to say. No.
That was what I want you. I want you to say that because it'll lead into the point.
So you're saying a ship could dock to that versus someone using it to travel?
And I think it's both.
It could be, right. It's a two-way.
Yeah.
Two-way,
well, because
transporter.
The hyperspace ring for the Jedi Starfighter can go as long as it has the coordinates to go, it'll go on its own. Yes, it's a plug and play because the ship has the coordinates, but like if you didn't need the ship, the hyperspace ring would do it on its own, whereas the Jedi Starfighter cannot do it on its own unless otherwise modified. So in my mind, I thought, I may have misunderstood this, but I thought they were like almost hinting on the fact that something could dock with this and go along for the ride. So
it makes sense, but you got to think, what is going to dock with that? Obviously, it's something pretty freaking big.
I don't know.
Thrawn ship?
I don't know how big the thing is. I haven't seen the dimensions on it yet. I don't even know if that's been revealed on the Wikipedia yet. Because one of the things I like to do is I like to see specs of different things so I can like do size comparison. Like the Ghost is a little bit bigger than the Falcon and such and such. So we haven't seen...
I mean, you also, one big giveaway for me was Ahsoka's reaction to it when she had, Huyang confirm what she thought it was. Because obviously, if she was around during the Clone Wars, granted, we didn't see it, in animation, but she saw the Jedi use it, even if she used them herself.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that she's now started to put two and two together is like, holy shit, something big is coming with Thrawn, or they're going to go get Thrawn and maybe his ship is out there. Who knows?
It's just an interesting design choice for me if that's not what its purpose is, unless the design choice is clearly just to remind us of it and not actually have it be that. then I guess I understand that. But
they it could be deceiving. Like, watch this hand, but the other hand is doing something different.
I mean, I guess it's easier than building an entire Super Star Destroyer, considering those things are like 19 kilometers long.
Super Star Destroyer.
but like for the design of the ship, if it's not doing that, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, yeah, there's not for how the circumference of the ship, there's not a ton of square footage because it's not extraordinarily thick by any means. I'm curious what they would do if that's not the direction they're going in. I do like that they touched on, oh, the ship is capable of going, you know, very far, very fast. I was like, I was right. But I did appreciate that. Did we not get Baylan in this episode? Oh no, he told the soldiers to go find them. That's right.
Very end.
So hopefully we get some more of him. I feel like that was all my point. Yeah, because I'm trying to like all the points I had, like a lot of the ones you guys already did. So yeah, all right. So I feel like we can go into our next category of predictions. So predictions. So this was episode 3. Who said by episode 4 or 5 we would get Thrawn?
I feel like we all did at this point.
Yeah.
Why it's looking around.
So I'm still wondering if that's the case. I mean, they said they were still installing the last engine and they didn't complete that at the end of
this
episode.
That was a convenient kind of recon because did any of you, when the explosion happened, think that they activated the ring and disappeared? Because I did.
For a split second, I did.
Yeah, I think they wanted us to think that it was a Filoni little funny there. And then they were like, oh, we haven't even installed the last engine. And I was like, I see what you did there. You didn't tell us that before. You told us after.
Convenient.
We thought it was done.
Yeah.
We thought it was ready to go.
So, I mean, but I don't think they have much longer to do. They didn't say they had months of work to do. So we'll just have to see. I'm wondering if it'll cut to the next episode and they'll be basically done and then they're ready to go. I don't know if we're getting him then, but I'm still not sure about my theory of it being the last episode or the second to last episode. We're getting 8, right?
Yeah.
Yep. 8 it is.
So I would like to see it episode 4 or 5. Give me as much Thrawn as we can get, as long as it's quality.
Yes. Yes.
Like, let's not have this be a line where Kathleen Kennedy's like, we need to protect and preserve the original characters, as she said to George Lucas, and then they all died like 2.5 movies later. So I'm just like,
let's kill Chewbacca and then not kill.
You did. Yeah, you did a bang up job there, sweetheart. But
you son of a bitch.
No. I mean, obviously, she wasn't. I don't think she was at the helm writing everything. She approved things, but I don't think she was there writing everything. So it is what it is. But so we'll just have to see how this goes. So you think Hera's done for the season?
No, definitely not.
No.
Well, because she said, I can't go with you, and I also can't send a task force.
I have a theory. What's your theory,
love?
Okay, so when I was listening to our last episode, this theory hit me, hard for me to say, because I'm so excited. And this episode very much supported it and took me down a rabbit hole. Okay, so follow me. We got the Purrgils in the premiere. We got the Purrgils again in this episode. We don't know very much about these star whales. So they're not done with the gate, right? They're not done with it.
Correct.
But we already know the Purrgils can jump to different solar systems, star systems, galaxies, whatever. So
using the same lanes, yeah.
What if they use the Purrgils somehow? Because we've seen Rey communicate with a snake, with the Force. So the Force is in all living things. The Purrgils, you know, are living
Ezra
things.
Communicated
I don't
with
know.
Them.
Ezra communicated, exactly. So could they like beat Morgan at her own game and get to Thrawn and Ezra before? And then it gets better. Here's where the Hera connection comes in, okay? So that's the workaround from getting the permission that Hera was trying to get. So then, as they were trying to rescue Ezra, now Hera will have to rescue Ahsoka, because the Rebel Alliance, the whatever you want to call it, the New Republic now needs Ahsoka. They know they need her, right? They know she's an asset, even if she's not a Jedi.
I noticed that the transmission cut out and Hera noticed that. So I'm wondering if that's going to be like, hey, I need to do something.
Yeah, right, right, because they lost connectivity. So I have a pretty bold theory. I think Hera is going to have to go get them and go through the gate or use with a portal, whatever, with the ghost. And she can't go by herself. She'll bring Chopper. Maybe she'll bring Jason, but wouldn't it make sense to call a New Republic pilot that can mm-hmm. help her fly mm-hmm. the ship? Where would she find one? I don't know. Maybe a cantina. Right, exactly. So maybe that's how we get Zeb helping her find the girls. I don't know.
You think maybe she'll get Rex or Callus to go
hire
with
me? I'm just saying.
Why can I picture like Alyssa driving and she's formulating all this in her head
and I'm by and myself
punching
like,
the steering wheel.
I look like Charlie Day with the clipboard and the string, and I'm like, oh my god, I figured it out. It's like, you know, I'm in the shower, this is where I do my best thinking, I'm driving, I'm on autopilot, this is where I do my best thinking. So yeah, I don't know. That's a pretty ridiculous theory, but I could see, like, what else are they going to do in the next episode? There haven't been any side quests, so I swear to God, we better not get a bunch of side quests now. But
in the second half of the season,
that's the probably the reason we all like it so much. There's none of that side.
Wyatt doesn't like side quests.
No, I don't like filler episodes, which I thought this was going to be one, but
it wasn't. It advanced the plot.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't call it a filler, but yeah, so that's my big prediction.
I love that. I just don't think we have enough time.
What do you mean? We have four more episodes.
Five.
Four. Next is four, five, six, seven. Okay. That would be, five. Okay. That makes sense. Math. I wasn't counting four apparently, or eight.
I love it. I just don't want to commit to it, because then I'll be disappointed if it doesn't happen.
I feel like it could be done in half an episode. Like, it wouldn't be the entire plot. Yeah. I feel like that could be the opening of the next one. Because they're on that planet now, and Baylan is going after them. And Baylan's a whole another prediction, because he's already kind of revealed that he used to be a Jedi and he left the Order. And he's like a dark Jedi. He's not a Sith or whatever.
He doesn't
so
want
it's like,
to kill Ahsoka. But
he doesn't want to kill a Jedi. It'd be a waste, right? So the Star Wars quote that I keep coming to for him is like, there's still good in him. Like Luke
well,
with
noticed,
Vader, like there's
sent,
still good
he
there.
Sent a bunch of people that he knows that she can beat.
And also, if all of this shit is connected to the Force, why can't these people know where the other one is and Force time, like you're saying? Like, how do they not know where she is? You know what I'm saying? And also, do they not have the technology to like beep, 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 a little heat map? I don't know. I feel like he's stalling or something. Like
maybe there's animals in the woods that would come up on a bio signal, a bio register.
What? Well, this isn't Lothal. So I was like, a loth wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Give me or a wolf.
Yeah, the wolf.
I like it reminded me they when they shut down Huang and all of mm-hmm. their ship systems so they would avoid detection. It reminded me
that was great
of that. It was like the first couple episodes of Clone Wars with that super weapon that was the big ion cannon. And and what was that Anakin's little freighter that he had there for a while? That rinky dinky non like B-wing thing with the wings.
Yeah.
They had that like that medical droid randomly for like a few episodes, and they shut it down. That's what it reminded me of. That was kind of cool. It was a nice little flashback.
And Shin had his little headset thing on. Did you see the little metal thing? That was Anakin's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you see that, Wyatt?
No, I didn't see that.
I got a picture for you.
I'm curious to see if we'll get K Callus or Rex, because they're both, you know, parts of the Spectre crew. So we'll have to see if they're going to be wise and use Tim Morrison. And I would love to see who they cast as Agent Callus with his flawless hair and beard.
I want them to pick the one that I picked from.
Who did you pick again?
The guy from the motorcycle show.
The motorcycle show?
You want Charlie
Hunnam? What is that called? Yes, thank you.
Oh, Sons of Anarchy?
Yes,
Sons of
Anarchy, thank you.
Charlie Hunnam.
I can't ever remember his name. He would be perfect.
He is British. He does have the British
accent. I was about to say, he is British.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. Welcome. Lucasfilm, hire me.
You're the
writer and your casting agent, right?
When you get hired, hire me.
I will, exactly.
Voiceover actor. So I'm still sticking to my original prediction that Thrawn turned Ezra. That's still going to be my main prediction. But with how much we've
advanced, Ezra's alive. Got it.
I think Ezra's alive. But I think Thrawn has turned him.
A lot of people thought he was Marak, the other pilot with the mask.
I was just thinking, like, who is this Power Ranger guy?
It wouldn't make sense because
he's too tall.
They're gonna go get Thrawn from another galaxy.
You don't know.
But
he
somehow
could be wearing
Ezra
gravity boots.
Well, it's like so somehow Ezra's back and not Thrawn. They left together.
Right.
I mean, just because you leave a party together doesn't mean
you go home together.
So
don't I know it? Just gonna.
Anyway, so my prediction off of this episode is for next week. I think there's going to be a new ally that is on this planet that has been marooned there, deserted there.
What?
Why?
I think they're. Why not? Okay. They are alone.
Why?
I'm wondering. I want to know more.
I just don't know who, because they're way beyond the Outer Rim. You know, they're in the unreachable, you know, star system. I think
do
there's
even
someone
know
that's,
what planet they're on.
They said it.
They said it, and I think I put it in the thing I sent you.
Oh yeah, well that was
the Deneb system.
Deneb system. So yeah, I guess. That's
so they're still in the Outer Rim / unknown regions. I think they're still low key in the galaxy proper. Apparently something to keep in mind. Apparently, at least in Star Wars Legends, which they've low-key referenced in canon, is that when they talk about the Star Wars galaxy, there are little smaller satellite galaxies nearby that are considered part of the galaxy, but not the galaxy proper. Like, at the perfect example is at the end of Episode 5 when Luke gets his new arm, and then him and Leia and the droids look out the window at the galaxy. So that's, you know, it's so close. So it's like, is it one of those galaxies or is it a galaxy far, far away?
So the planet is called Cetos.
Cetos in the Deneb system. Okay.
Yep.
I think there's someone there. I don't know who, I don't know why or how or what other Star Wars mythology that we've left out.
And what do you think they're going to do?
One sentence from Wikipedia that says Cetos was a planet that was inhabited in the past by a species from a different galaxy. Mm-hmm. They constructed a mechanism on it to locate their galaxy powered by a spherical star map.
So I don't know who, but
that
I feel like
supports your theory. I mean,
I think there's going to be creature, person, or someone that we've had in.
Yeah, we haven't really got previous yet. That's
so a theory I saw, and I kind of like it.
Hey, the Anzellians.
If
we
only,
need a cameo.
Hey, we can just get a show.
We
where
fix your
like
ship
in
for
episode.
You. It's Boken. It's the Boken. It's the Boken.
Bad baby.
Bad baby.
So a theory that I like is the first episode when Ahsoka goes to that temple that was apparently built by Dathomir witches long ago. So some of like the columns and some of the artwork around there looked like it was from. Why did you play Jedi Fallen Order?
I did. I love that game.
So do you remember Eno Cordova, the old Jedi who was like on Zepho, like studying, like you see all of the recordings of him. He's like an old man with like.
Yeah.
White. So the Zepho were a force into attuned race that ended up going extinct. So a lot of the artwork on that planet looks similar to some of the designs on the planet that Ahsoka was on when she first found, I like to call it the orb, like this is Marvel, the Power Stone. So the little sphere thing.
Treasure planet.
The treasure planet Decoder. So I'm wondering if the species from far, far away is going to be the Zepho. So I'm possible. Curious to see how that goes, because we also found there was something in, you watched Bad Batch, right?
Yeah.
That giant walker thing with the beam weapon.
Yeah.
Season two. I think that was also from the Zepho. So that's you know, now two things in the past couple of years from the same species. And now they're just throwing in this nameless unknown species. So I'm wondering if they're going to connect that. That would be really cool to see some way. I'd like to follow your theory. I'd like to see if they encounter some ally.
Right. Cause it would be something new. Obviously we have a lot mm-hmm. of characters from Rebels, you know, in this show. So it'd be nice.
This is Rebels season five.
This is. So it would be wonderful to get a new creature. I mean, we're already in a new system, a new planet, new tech, I'll say. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to get a new species or creature or something force sensitive would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It could be good. I've got, let me see, I think one more that I didn't say. Okay, my one about Kanan. That was the one I didn't say. And then I had a question for Andrew. So let me do my theory and then my question. So we got Hera said, I believe, someone, the quote was to the effect of someone was killed by, Thrawn killed friends, people who were like family.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I don't know if she's just referring to Ezra. I would assume that's Kanan or both, mm-hmm. because yeah. Kanan was not directly killed by Thrawn, but it was at the hands of his doing, right? Basically,
his order.
So yeah. It was his ultimately, it was his fault. So I feel like with all that kind of imagery of Jacen and wearing the thing and her talking about him and then the blindness, like all these little Easter eggs and breadcrumbs, I feel like are leading to Kanan being a part of this, whether that's a force ghost,
love to
some
see
kind of flashback, or if we get like a practical like actor, you know, kind of situation. Like I don't think we would get, like, he's dead. We know he's dead, but also Star Wars, nobody's ever dead. So
that I would love to see them go to a planet that's really strong in the Force so they can see that. Like the Mortis episodes with Anakin, Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan, and they saw Force Ghost Qui-Gon because it was such a strong connection.
That was so cool, yeah.
I would like to see something like that. I wouldn't even mind if, like, they started just having visions of him, whether or not it was actually the Force or something else.
Right, I feel like that's perfect. Like, even those, like, more so smaller snippets of it that's more real and tangible. And then like next season, when and if we do that, then I feel like almost like a reveal of something more large, something more significant would make sense. And there'd be room for it in the time that we have left to Wyatt's point. I don't know if we have time for all these rabbit holes and ideas. So I think there was so much intentionality to it that was subtle, that was related to Kanan. And it would be so cool to see Freddie Prinze Jr. play him, because they're like not really letting the voice actors from the series do the live action, right? Like Chopper is, and Zeb is, and Thrawn is, right? Thrawn, yeah. But other than that, like of the Spectre crew, I mean, though, Ezra is not the same person. Hera is not the same person. Sabine is, I don't think, the same person, right? Ahsoka is not the same person. So they're, and not that she's a Spectre, part of the Spectre crew, but you know what I mean? She's Fulcrum. So I think that it would be cool to at least let him do that. Because I feel like he's such a strong actor and he would do so well in physical Star Wars world.
And his voice is just so unique.
And it is. It's so good. It's so recognizable. Everybody loves him. So that would be cool. But if not, I mean, they could pull it off with other people. Freddie Prinze Jr. is the right age too. He's definitely the right age to pull it off, even if it is a throwback. If Anakin pulled off the throwback, you know what I mean? Hayden Christensen. So I don't know. I don't know if that would be this season or, you know, like we're saying, like an old hologram or something like we got of Ezra, but I feel like something more significant with Kanan could possibly
Especially nice to see, because like Hera's raw reaction when she's trying to plead her case to the Senate, where she's like, you don't know that. Like you don't know that he's dead. It's like,
right.
It's been what, 10, 12 years, and it's still that like much fresh. Of an impact.
Yeah.
Which it's kind traumatic. Of leads me to believe that, well, yeah, it's traumatic, but like she considered herself like the older sister, the young mom of the group.
Yeah.
So right. She probably feels partly responsible, and
yes,
she knows Kanan's dead. Like dead as a doornail. Right. Like you can't, there's no bringing that back. If Ezra couldn't do it in the world between worlds, it's not happening. But if there's a chance that she can save him and Kanan would live on through both of them, she's going to take it. So right. I especially love that about her character.
Yeah, and that's beautiful.
It would definitely be nice for her to get like a little Force reunion.
Yep. And then my question was, when Ahsoka says, I don't need Sabine to be a Jedi, I just need her to be herself.
Herself.
I feel like, first of all, that was such a beautiful quote. I thought that was so great. But for me, I think where I still get confused is this idea of like, the Force resides in all living things. Only certain people can be Force sensitive or have to be open to it. And then just because you're Force sensitive, like Han Solo, and pick up a lightsaber and open up a Tauntaun, doesn't necessarily mean that you're a Jedi, right? So it was like, you have to go through the order and graduate and do all these things. So it's like, can you be a Jedi without the order, right? Because like we said, you come from a long line of non-traditional Jedi. Yeah. So is that
okay
in canon? Is that, does that register correctly?
Let's address a couple things. That's a very good question. One, Luke didn't really go through the trials. I mean, he went through the trial of flesh, he lost his hand, whatever. He had very little official training, and Rey had about, you know, she had a year at a certain point in between the second to last one. So the two of them had very little training, but at that point what it meant to be a Jedi was different. I don't know the Han Solo thing. I don't know that Han is Force sensitive. You can pick up a lightsaber without being a Jedi. Can you use it well? Maybe not.
Well, didn't we see there was something in episode 5 about, I can't remember the exact sequence or the scene or what happened, but there was something that I can see if I can pull something up to support it. But I thought it was canon that he was like Force sensitive.
I don't think so. I mean, I could be mistaken. There's only so much knowledge that's useless that maybe I can hold up here. but so the Force resides in all living things. And there is a difference, I believe they call it, between being Force attuned and Force sensitive. So like Force attuned people, which I think is what Chirrut Imwe is supposed to be from.
Rogue One. Mm-hmm.
He can perceive and maybe hear the Force and can be led by the Force. And then there's Force sensitivity, and obviously there's different levels of strength to that.
It's a debate on the internet if he is or not.
Just like there's a debate if Finn is or not, because he didn't if it's not explicitly said, or if you don't explicitly see them move the cup, you know, it's not gonna, there's always gonna be a debate. So I mean, like we see Obi-Wan fight Cad Bane, and he picks up a lightsaber. So I mean, like people can just do that. So do I think that Sabine is Force sensitive? I don't know. Do I believe that Ahsoka realizes she may be Force attuned? Yes. But also, so Ahsoka's not a Jedi anymore, basically. She said that how many times?
so many.
So that doesn't mean that Jedi teaching is a waste of time. Like they, as much as they led to their own downfall with their teachings, they have good things that could be taught: patience,
right?
Strategy, calm, knowing yourself, centering yourself. These things are all useful when she's a Mandalorian and she's at war all the time. Like we saw her struggling with herself when Kanan was teaching her.
Right.
And then, you know, that's when we learned that her family turned her back on her and kicked her out on her ass, basically. So I think she is force attuned, and maybe that can grow. I think that'll be interesting to see, but I think she's more just training her to be somebody who can be her apprentice, whether or not that's a Jedi or not. It's
right,
just like, hey,
right,
you're here. I kind of need you just a little bit over here, and this will also help you. So that's fair. I don't know if that answers your question at all.
That
said a lot of things.
So Andrew, to your point there, when Sabine and Ahsoka are talking on the table and Ahsoka uses the Force to bring the cup to her, did you notice how the sound changed? Like it was more bassy when that started to happen. When Sabine is trying to do it, you can sort of hear it start to kind of pulse in and out. So are we foreshadowing that she's tentatively force sensitive?
I think that's a good way to do that. I also think it's reflective of how the Force is in people, or like how they connect with the Force. Like something that Sam Witwer, who voices Darth Maul and was the Jedi from the Force Unleashed games, when he was auditioning, they had him practice meditating and building a lightsaber, but he was trained by Darth Vader. He's a Sith, or not a Sith, but he's like a Sith acolyte, basically. He's an assassin. He doesn't know how to calmly attune with the Force, connect with the Force. So his audition is him like basically like having an aneurysm. It sounds like he's on the bowl and just having not a good time on the toilet. It's like very violent and very forceful. And everyone's like, what are you doing? And he tells them, he's like, you told me this guy was trained by Darth Vader and has no connection to the Jedi and no formal training whatsoever. And they're like, yeah. So he doesn't know how to do that calmly. And all the writers are just like talking amongst themselves. They're like, continue. It's because they hadn't even thought of that. So depending on your background and what you think of the Force and your internal self is how that's going to reflect. Like when Kanan met the Bendu, and he was telling him not to be afraid of the spiders. He's like, what do you feel? What do you see when you see them? He says, you know, grief, you know, fear, anger. And he's like, in the spiders, he's like, no, that's how they see me. That's how I see myself. So I think that very much matters as far as connecting with the Force. So I like that they have different sounds for different things. It doesn't just represent the character, but also their connection to the Force. So I think that's really cool.
Anger and frustration are quick to give power, but they also unbalance you. You know what else anger and frustration gives? Content. And that's kind of why we have a podcast.
Oh my God.
I was rewatching it before the pod. I'm like, what the heck am I going to use for an outro quote? I'm like, bingo, that'll do it. But anyway, guys, thank you for joining us on another adventure across the Star Wars galaxy with episode 3 of Ahsoka. So join us next week where we'll, I guess, officially cross over the halfway mark of this show.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode.
In the meantime, check us out on Instagram as @Spectre_radio and on Facebook as Spectre Radio.
Be sure to submit your questions via social media for a chance to hear us answer them on our upcoming segment, Consult the Council.
This is Spectre Radio, signing off.